Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Tuesday, class 8 April 2025. So as usual, we'll be doing our Dhamma sharing from this book, The Wonderful Lotus Flower Sutta. As usual, we'll gather and have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Yausufo. Namo Yausufo. Namo Yausufo. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Sauka Sango Sanghang Namami. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Vairamani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Vairamani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Vairamani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Vairamani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura Miraya Majjhapamadatthana Vairamani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. We'll continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang kanda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang vanna kanda guno petang etang kesuma santatin upayami munindas siri pada sahohe puje me betang kesume nanena punena matena ceho tu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tu no bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. When you want to develop this awareness-based meditation, the most important support is relax. Just relax body and mind completely and free your mind. No need to think of anything or worry about anything. Just relax. Then maintain awareness. In fact, that is the best way to maintain a meditative mind, which is just aware within. So even when you go for retreat or you want to train yourself the daily mindfulness at home, you just remember the first two support. Relax, then maintain awareness. Whatever you do in life, maintain awareness. You can do that, you will progress very fast. But when we are having the appropriate condition, like during retreat or during certain classes where we have our schedule, half an hour or 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation, then we can make use of it to stabilize our inner awareness. You combine the formal meditation to stabilize your awareness, then use that to continue your daily mindfulness. You will progress. Yeah. So remember the four support, especially the first three. Yeah? If I, first and second is the main one. Relax body and mind. Then maintain awareness. Means the mind that is aware, just stay aware. That's it. Whatever happen, whatever arise, aware. Finish. No need to think, no need to know, no need to do anything. Yeah. Then when you are at the retreat, if you feel that you need to go for a relaxed walk, you just go for a normal relaxed walk. Means without holding on to anything, without thinking, without worrying, you just go for a natural walk. Walk naturally, but mindful inside. Then you come back, you can meditate very well. So relaxation is just to be normal, to be natural. Don't go and act out of it. Don't try to be mindful. Then try to like walk correctly, try to sit correctly. Forget about it. Just relax, maintain awareness, be natural. Then you will settle down very fast. Well, the main understanding behind, or the key understanding behind awareness-based meditation is to let the heedless thinking mind settle down and return to its natural state before the thinking. So when you relax, everything just falls into place. Well, you don't have to think, you don't have to worry, you don't have to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness, and let the thinking mind, the mundane mind, settle down back to its original state without any thought, without any thinking. In fact, that is the fastest way. That's why the four support actually does that. But the first two support, very important, like I say. So now you sit any posture. You are still relatively young, you can still cross your leg, then you can cross your leg. Otherwise, any of the four posture can also be used to meditate. You can also lie down in a very relaxed manner, then maintain awareness, that's it. Or you just stand up and do the walking meditation, relax and walk naturally, but with mindfulness within, with awareness within. Then when you stand, maintain awareness, turning, bending, stretching, walking, maintain awareness. Then for formal meditation, you try to choose a posture where you don't have to move. So sitting is one of them. If you are quite elderly, or if your leg are having some form of problem, rheumatism or whatever, then you find it very difficult to cross your leg. You don't have to cross your leg. You can just sit on a chair, or lean against a wall, or just relax, maintain a certain posture that is most conducive for you. You can also lie down. Then silence everything. Relax means to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness by not thinking. When you are relaxed, you don't have to think. There is nothing for you to do. To meditate is not to do. Where the doing is always by the thought. When the thought is active, you cannot be mindful. To be mindful, you must be in a relaxed state of inner awareness. So just relax and maintain the inner awareness within. The awareness that is aware. It's not a thinking, not a thought. It's just that nature. And the original state of mind before the thinking, before the stirring, before the reaction of mind is actually your true mind, which is tranquil, still, and without thought. That is a pure awareness nature. So awareness-based meditation is to have the ability to relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind settle down until you realize that silent mind, that true mind, which is your meditative mind. That mind is without any thinking, without any thought within. So with this, hopefully, you all can develop it. Then after you relax, maintain awareness, whatever arises, let it pass. Means aware, finish. No need to think, no need to allow it to continue with the habitual proliferation of thought or thinking. Don't be curious. Don't try to know, don't try to do, just relax. Maintain awareness and let the mind settle down. That one is very important. Then when you can stabilize this, your awareness will develop. Then you become very sensitive. Then everything that move or stir, you just aware, finish. Whatever that arise within your six sense door, your form and mind, you maintain awareness and let it stabilize. So first support is relax. Second support is maintaining awareness. The third support is to stabilize the awareness by repeating all those silent inner awareness and relaxation. Then allowing or witnessing the mind to settle down, to become very peaceful, very quiet and very still. Then you will realize your true mind. Then when your mind has become so quiet and so still, don't do anything. Just stay with the silent mind. Maintain the awareness until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you will know. You will become very peaceful, very calm, very tranquil, very still. Then everything you do or whatever movement is like magnified. You can have that understanding. Your sensitivity is there. Every minute movement or activity is like magnified. Even when you try to straighten your back when you are sitting, when you realize your body has sloughed, that very movement is very fine. But yet, your mindfulness can pick it up. And it's like everything is so clear. The mindfulness has taken over. So whatever you do, all your awareness of your kaya is in sati. All of your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, it's all in sati, where your mind has entered sati. That's how you stabilize it. And for those who have stabilized their awareness nature within, you can just proceed to the fourth support, which is trust. trust your inner nature to do the meditation means no more using thought, no more interference from your mind or your brain, which has all the accumulation of your memory, which are your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system, etc., including your emotion, your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your whatever, doubt, worry, anxiety. All these are mind state that are dependent originating condition arising. And when you do it so often, it becomes habitual tendency. And these are the things that influence human beings' thinking or cause your mind to stir, to react. That's why they cannot meditate. So the fourth support is not to allow your views, opinion, conditioning, and accumulated memory or belief system with all the emotion or phobia to come and haunt you or disturb you. So the fourth support is just stay at the heart area, maintain the inner awareness, then let the nature move on its own. Whatever you want to detect, it will detect. If it detects any vibration within your heart area or around your heart area, just stay with it. Awareness and the vibration as one. Sometimes the more prominent one could be your breathing or your heartbeat or any other vibration. Wherever you locate your this awareness, it will pick it up. Yeah. So just let the nature move and develop the meditative movement, the internal movement, until one day it detects the gateway to your nature. If you are patient, you are able to maintain mindfulness and awareness and let things be, stay at the heart area. Then with patience and understanding, it will come. You can develop it. Then when it comes, the form and mind that has developed the meditative understanding and going through the experience will understand what is happening. So initially, it was just like your whatever yin-yang energy external. When you detect the gateway, they will flow there, melt inside, and become pure energy when it come out. You will experience that. Then you become very beautiful. After that, you become very quiet and very still, like completely no thought. And your entire body and mind is like going through a purification process, where the pure energy really transforms you from within. It will move to whatever location it wants to move to. Then it will continue to activate whatever nadis or chakra that needs to be activated. And this is the fourth support, trust, T-R-U-S-T. So you can do that. You continue to relax deep into it. And let the external yin-yang energy continue to melt in. Then later on, this will stabilize. But it will happen over a long period of time. Sometimes it may take a few months. And sometimes it may take years. But this internal movement is very beautiful. They are what we call the Bodhisattva way cultivation, where you develop the four support to locate the gateway to our nature. Then through this fourth support, the awareness nature will develop the meditative movement and meditative training on its own, and it will transform you, and you will understand the form and mind that undergo all this will understand what is going on. Then that nature starts to slowly, slowly open up, become more and more prominent, more and more clear to the cultivator. Then during that time, most of the time you are just aware within. Then you will come to understand this pure awareness nature within so differently, until you realize that you actually have two minds. One is that silent mind, the pure inner awareness nature without thought. Then from there, all the thought process, thinking, sankhara, activity, aggregates of mind, they surface from there. And that mind is called the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So silence everything and observe that. That is the mano that the Buddha talked about. That's how he said, when that arises, all things arise. So that mano, that mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. He said, mind is the forerunner of all things. From mind, all things arise. When mind arises, all creation arises. So through that nature, the mundane mind manifests. The five aggregates of form and mind manifest. Then because of our senses, six sense bases, it will trigger off the respective sense door consciousness. That's why from that pure awareness nature comes the five aggregates of form and mind. Then from there, it trigger off the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why the Buddha called consciousness like a magician creating magic or illusion for you to see. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness is like very real to you. So the illusion is like create illusion for you to see, but you cannot understand that they are illusion. You think they are real. That's why you attach, you cling, you give meaning and get yourself entangled. And this is meditation. Seeing all this, you understand and you wake up. Then when you wake up, you realize all this are so beautiful. Then you start to understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. What is this human being all about? What is this form and mind all about? What is the true nature within, and what is the mundane thought activity that create and manifest? And these two are different. Then when you silence everything and develop all the wisdom, then you realize the awakening. The cessation of form and mind will happen. Enlightenment in the here and now. The realization of Nibbana can arise. Then the cultivator will develop the wisdom to become enlightened or awakened. And once the mind awakens, the understanding is always there within the nature. That's how it will transform the form and mind until there is no more delusion, no more ignorance. Then no more suffering, no more attachment, no more clinging, no more grasping. Then you understand the whole of creation, all of the essential Dhamma that actually explain all this. Then the universal characteristic of anicca, dukkha, anatta become very clear. That's why without sati, without the awareness within, without this awareness-based meditation, you cannot awaken. Thought-based meditation cannot give rise to the wisdom or the dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind, akaliko. So all this you will understand. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own now. Okay, you can now slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then from this moment onward, maintain awareness, whatever that come within your field of vision, aware, field of hearing, aware, smell, taste, tactile, everything, or even arising of thought, maintain awareness. Then every activity you do, as you move out from your sitting posture, even listening attentively, maintain awareness. If you can do that, you will progress very fast. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhaṃ kadang dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusānaṃ Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukhani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anutarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu 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 Via a page. Oh, according to yours is 246. The new one and the old one is different. Anyway, you have the old book is page 689. The new book, they have a different series, page 246, volume 4, chapter 3. This one is a parable by Master Xuan Hua. Okay, I will read on. The Surangama Sutta said that if you become a Buddha, it is attained through the use of this sixth sense faculty. So this one is a very important statement. Whatever you do to develop the meditation or to live life, you need the sixth sense basis. Like I always said, how do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? Without the sixth sense basis or sixth sense faculty, we cannot arise consciousness. If we cannot arise consciousness, we cannot be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And that is the basis of life, basis of our ability to know the world, to interact with the world. So this sixth sense door is what life is all about. That's why we are basically a conscious being, although we call ourselves a human being. But we are capable of become conscious. That's why it is a conscious being. And as human, we have the sixth sense basis that can enable us to trigger off the sixth type of correspondent sense or consciousness that give us the sense faculty to know the world, to interact with the world, to live life, to experience life, to go through life, to create whatever we can through our senses, through our consciousness. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness arise, and to us it's like very real. But there is another nature within, which is beyond the sixth sense faculty, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the mundane thinking mind. And that one is our pure nature within. The Buddha called it the Buddha nature, where he is the Buddha. The Mahayana called living being the original nature, but that nature was the primordial. It was there all the while, before the beginning of time. It is unconditioned, because it is unborn, unconditioned. That's why it doesn't go through the phases of what they call like the mundane world or existential world type of phenomena. It does not experience always sickness and death. Well, whatever that is unborn can never get old, get sick and die. There is no such thing as a being that evolve, arise and pass away. That only arise within the conditioned world, where the sixth sense basis is the basis of consciousness. And because there is consciousness, there is what we call the content of consciousness that manifests the karmic process. The content of consciousness is what the thought is all about. Your mental intention behind every moment of consciousness create karmic consciousness or the karmic conditioning. That's why the Buddha say, this mind, the mundane mind, when they arise, they are the forerunner of all things. And mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. That's why mind is the basis of life, existence. And mind is also the basis of complete understanding. But living beings that are being born into the existential world, or what we call our samsara conditioned world, or we call it the existential world, they only know of one mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind. The mind that is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. That one create what we call the karmic process, create life, existence, karma. That's why all this unfold into what we call civilization, existence. That's why our universe is very unique because of this as a characteristic. Yeah. So the Surangama say that if you become a Buddha, means Sammasambuddha, it is attained through using your sixth sense basis, sixth sense door or sixth sense faculty. That's why in the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha under Dhammanupassana, there is one category of cultivation or practice. You see, you must develop mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases to understand the 18 sense rhyme, to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how you know the world, and how you interact with the world. All through that six sense door, when you have awareness and mindfulness, then you come to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being to manifest all this sense of consciousness. Then how through this consciousness, when they arise, upon contact of the sense basis with the respective sense object and consciousness, or what they call the pulse of life, or the karmic force, that trigger of the consciousness. So all this develop the movement. Then because of your accumulated memories, you hold on to all those experience, your conditioning, your belief system. That's how your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, phobia, all the what they call emotion, your belief system, everything, you accumulated them through your experience, accumulated life experience, good and bad. Then you have moral and immoral. That's how the moral causation, the condition, karma, arise. And the law of karma is able to continue this karmic process is because it existed as a nature's law within our existential world. The initial boundary that started this creation, it has it. As the Buddha called it, the karma niyama, spiritual moral causation, the spiritual law that governs all of karmic process. Then there is also another spiritual law that define how we function as a human being, how our mind develops the movement. He called it the law of dependent origination or paticca samuppada. So that is in the teaching, essential dhamma. And with mindfulness, you can see and understand all this process. Then apart from mind and the moral causation, which is citta niyama and karma niyama, we also have the third universal order within the spiritual law. He called it the order of truth or dhamma niyama. All the essential dhamma, all the truth that the Buddha has taught us, all this, they are within that nature's law that governs all of truth. What are truth? They are called dhamma. Or dhamma, or the truth that can explain the way things are. If it cannot explain the way things are, then it cannot be the truth. Where truth is. Just like science, the behavior of elements, energy, everything. We have the scientific law, physics, chemistry, biology, that give rise to the physical law of nature, utu niyama, and biological order of nature, bija niyama. And all physical things, biological things, they behave following these two laws. That's why these two scientific laws, utu niyama, bija niyama, combined with the three spiritual laws, the law of karma, karma niyama, law of mind, citta niyama, and law of truth, dhamma niyama, they form the five universal order, or what we call the pancha niyamas. These are the nature's order that governs all of life and existence within the conditioned world. And this is how they manifest. And the Surangama Sutta explain it very well. Without the six sense basis, you cannot understand all this. Without awareness, sati, the nature, you cannot understand all this. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very complete in that sense. It understands the whole creation process, how it started, how it began, and how it evolved and become what it is today, and how it will continue to transform and manifest in time to come. That's why you need to develop the full enlightenment, the supreme vehicle enlightenment, to realize Sama Sambuddhahood, to understand all this. This type of creation or wisdom that can arise from all this understanding and teaching, only the Sama Sambuddha can develop them. After they have perfected themselves, then they will have all this understanding. That's why we are in fact very blessed, very fortunate to be a Buddhist. Yeah. Otherwise you will never have this teaching. And without this teaching, it's not easy to actually encounter this type of very unique and profound truth. That's why in all the Mahayana Sutta, they have this opening verse, which in the early day during our Sunday class, we always recite. So now I will recite to you. I still have them here. So this verse for opening a sutta is always read, and it shows how rare this teaching is, how unique this teaching is. So verse 4, opening a sutta. the unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Tathagata here means the Sammasambuddha. So he said, this sutta or this Dhamma is very unique in the sense that it's unsurpassed, very profound and wonderful. Means so far there is no any other teaching that is more complete that can surpass this teaching. That's why he said this unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter even in hundreds of millions of aeons. Sometime after this long period, you also may not encounter it. Now we are so blessed, so fortunate, because we still can come across it, because we are born during the Sasana, Sakyamuni Buddha's, what we call Sasana, or they call it the, there is an English word for it, I forgot already. What is the English word? Sasana means what? The Pali word is Sasana. Huh?
Buddha dispensation.
Ah, dispensation, very good. Thanks, Wong. Sadhu. Yeah, the Buddha's dispensation. The Theravada tradition has this translation. It is still within the Sasana. This Sasana, according to Sakyamuni, is supposed to last 5,000 years, typically. But because he admitted the bhikkhuni order out of compassion for the bhikkhunis or the ladies, initially he was quite reluctant, but later on, because of causes and conditions, where he evolved, his stepmother and also the wife, Yosuhara. The stepmother actually looked after him after the mother passed away 1 week after he was born, Sakyamuni was born. So because of that, he finally consented and agree to the setting up of the Bhikkhuni order. Also because Ananda and many other of his close disciples plead to the Buddha. But the Buddha actually saw the causes and conditions and consented to it. But initially, the reason why he was so reluctant is because he knew if the Bhikkhuni order is being established, this Sasana will be shortened by 500 years. So instead of 5,000, it will be left with 4,500 over years. So do not waste your time anymore. Make full use of this Sasana. We have already crossed the halfway mark. We are already 2,600 over years after Sakyamuni Buddha became fully enlightened. So 2,600 over years minus 4,005, you'll have 1,009 about. So to our earth life, our average lifespan is about 75, 76 years old, the present civilization lifespan. Maybe you think 1,900 years is very long. But if you understand our existential universe time, this 1,900 years is just like a split moment in our universal time. When we talk about Asaṅkhaya Kalpas, world cycle, that length is very, very long. So 1,900 years is not that long. Then how many times can you take birth within that period? Sometimes you may not come as a human being, and you may not have the affinity to encounter this unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma. That's why I say this is the golden window. Make full use of it. Do not just let it slip away. Okay, with this, we go back to the sharing. I only finish one sentence, I think. Yeah, the Sarangama Sutta, that passage is very beautiful. So the Sarangama Sutta say that if you become a Sammasambuddha, it is attained through the use of your six sense faculty, of course, together with mindfulness, awareness within. The whole of the training, the perfection that took so long, can be accomplished through self-knowledge, to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. And you need to be mindful of your six internal sense bases and six external sense bases to understand the whole creation process. Then once you can develop the Bodhisattva way cultivation, especially the fourth support, to realize your beautiful original nature or true nature within, after you locate the gateway and go to the awareness-based meditation to transform your inner nature until you can illuminate that nature beautifully, clearly. So the Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature is the third stage of what we call the five stages of Bodhi mind development. Then after that, you continue with the cultivation. Then you move on to the fourth stage where you truly understood the whole of the creation process. That to you, samsara has been understood, completely understood. Then you can develop the Bodhi mind that can renounce samsara. Yeah, by then, samsara is nothing. No more an issue to you. That time that is being stated there, eons and eons and eons, is no more an issue. Because when you understand what samsara is, then you transform. Means you understand the unconditioned and the conditioned world. Means you know the secret of life. You know how to come, and you know how to realize all this and return. There is no more issue. Then life becomes wonderful, existent, meaningful. Then you can get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. That's why this teaching is very unique. And as a Buddhist, with the triple gem, affinity, you are really blessed. And I should say, because of that, you really can develop a lot of understanding. And understand clearly what life is. It's only after you have understood life, then you can live life. Then life becomes meaningful. Otherwise, there is no way. So to understand life, you need to understand the Dhamma. Where the Dhamma is the basis of understanding all things within life, within existence. That's why the Dhamma is the teachings of the Buddha, Sammasambuddha. And it is basically true. And the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. Truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why he preferred to call it noble truth. not universal truth or whatever. And these noble truths are very unique. That's why when you have the noble truth, you can understand this teaching. Because the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths, in the sense that he summarized all of life, all existence, mundane and supramundane, both, into just four simple and yet very profound and beautiful noble truths. That's why for those who have gone through the cultivation and the training, the moment they come across this Four Noble Truths, they will know the person who expounded this or realized this, and yet can summarize all of existence, life, truth, both the mundane and supramundane, into just four simple noble truths. He is the real one. Nobody can do that. That's why in the year 1971, when I come across this Four Noble Truths, my nature shine forth. Straight away inside tell me, no need to search, that's it. This is the one. Nobody can do that, I said. Even I myself at that time say, even if I have realized this secret of life, this enlightenment, I cannot summarize everything into just Four Noble Truths like what Sakyamuni Buddha has developed. No way. And it needs really that perfect understanding, perfection, to have that ability. Yeah. And it's really not something that is easily understood by living beings. That's why without the sasana, it's very difficult to encounter the teaching. And without the teaching, there is no way living being can come to this style of awakening. Even all the bodhisattva, the mahasattva, the great beings and the samasattva, they have to cultivate for so long, and all this evolve over a long period. And during the training to become samasambuddha or even enlightened being, you have to come across this Four Noble Truth teaching many, many times. That's why in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, as expounded by Sakyamuni Buddha when he decided to come out to teach, when he met up with the five ascetics, it was mentioned within the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, I said. Even he himself, a bodhisattva at that time, not until he had understood the Four Noble Truths in his three turning, he cannot proclaim to be the Buddha or the Sammasambuddha. That's why it shows how profound the Four Noble Truths is. And all these cultivators are the way before they become Sammasambuddha or perfect themselves. They have heard it from other Sammasambuddha. Of course, there is always a question of what about the first one, the first Sammasambuddha. The Mahayana actually has a name for that Buddha. They call it the Virochana Buddha. Virochana Buddha is the original first Sammasambuddha. If you go for the retreat, the Sampo Temple, where we are going to Brinchang, Cameron Island, their main shrine, there is this Virochana Buddha there, very nicely built. In Mandarin, they call Zhuang Yan, Hen Zhuang Yan. How you translate in English? Magnificent. Yeah, very magnificent, I think. Or there is another word, I think. Magnanimous or what? I forgot already. It's very well built. Mm. You go there, you will know. The energy there is very strong. Yeah. And the Virochana Buddha is a very unique Buddha. But from there, all the other Samasa Buddha also arise. Yeah. That's why the first one, the Mahayana teaching, they have this Buddha's name. Yeah. And they really pay a lot of respect to that Buddha. And most of the Mahayana temple, they will have this Virochana Buddha there. Most of them. And you can cultivate affinity with Virochana Buddha. Means your affinity with the Triple Gem and all the other, what they call great beings, will be very unique. Because from him, all the other Samasa Buddha arise. And the one that discover it first is always a very, very unique one, not easy. Like you want to build a plane or a car, you need the prototype. You know? The first guy who actually come up with that concept and that idea, he is the real one. But from there, of course, people improvise and develop all the improvement to all the design. After the prototype, they continue to build on it. Yeah. But this one is not like the normal prototype. This one is, although he is the first one, you can say he got it. But this is not a prototype where you can improvise or not. Where it's already a Samasa Buddha, fully enlightened and perfected. Means he already got the most sophisticated machine already on. So you cannot improve on it anymore. You can only match him. Whereas the prototype is different. Sometimes I reflect and contemplate, the guy who come out with the aeroplane, how did he know that it can fly? Heavy machine can fly. Then the car, how did he know you design that vehicle, that car, then you can drive it? Then now, no need to have human being inside there. They call it autonomous vehicle, means the AI, the computer driver itself. That's why technology can bring about all this possibility and understanding. That's why our civilization is very unique and very beautiful. Yeah. So indeed, we are very blessed to be born during this era. I call it the golden age, the golden era, the golden decades. Even though I may live maybe 7 or 8 decades, or maybe 8 plus a bit, it's really beautiful. Where every decade is so beautiful. In fact, when you understand, every moment is so beautiful. That's why life is really wonderful. Okay, go back to the sutta. So hopefully this one explained more clearly to you all what life existence and the teaching is and how the sasana comes about. Okay, I read on. If you commit offense and fall into the hell and transmigrate in the cycle of birth and death, it is also because of your 6 faculties. So Xuanhua tried to explain to you that all your karmic rebirth, samsara, the coming and the going, the arising, the birth and death, they are all mimic. Mimic means what? From the senses, upon contact, it trigger of consciousness. Then you input the content. This content has its moral causation inside, the mental intention. And every moment of this moral causation is a karmic consciousness. That's why you want to understand karma. Your karmic nature actually store all of the moments, summation of all the moments, your thought moments, every life, every segment, every existence. The summation of it become your karmic nature. That's why birth and death, samsara, is from the sixth sense door, from your content or consciousness, based on your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. Then you input the content. Yeah. And this content, before you become enlightened, has a lot of sakkayadity, self-delusion. Yeah. Means wrong view. You cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind. For our case, it's a human being. Thinking that it's you, real. This is what you are. It's a permanent unchanging entity that you can depend on, cling on to, grasp onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So all your thought process is entangled with this sakkayadity or self-delusion. When you cling and grasp, that is delusion, self-delusion. And because of that, the karmic process continues unending. That's why the first stage of sainthood, to become a sotapan, you have to sever the first three fetters. And the first fetter is sakkayadity, self-delusion. Yeah. But once you break that, awaken to it, that this form of mind is not what you think. This one is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, karmically conditioned out for you to arise within this existential world. Then you wake up. Then you're no longer deluded. Then you can see clearly how you function as a human being and how all this arises through the karmic process, dependent originating, causal phenomena. It's just a phenomena. When the causes and conditions come together, the five aggregate of form and mind arise, the human being arise. But it's karmically conditional, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to go through the karmic process and to do whatever you want to do, fulfill your vows, yeah? Create more karmic entanglement. All this is what life or existence is all about. So when you understand all this, what Shenhua said, it will be very clear. Huh? So if you commit whatever karmic offense, you may fall into the hell and continue the cycle of birth and death. It is also based on your sixth sense door. Then he continued to share by saying the five desires work in the same way. People who do not understand this principle crave and become attached to the five desires, unable to let them go. People who understand are able to let go of them and apply their effort to doing good deeds and accumulate merits and virtue. But this is to take care of karma. Yeah? But because of greed, the greed for wealth and profit, people undergo various kinds of suffering. When people crave the object of the five desires, they use all sorts of methods and techniques or ways to obtain them. When these methods or ways fail, they endure further suffering because there is a karmic repercussion, or they call the karmic debt that has to be repaid. Yeah. Then the sutta continues. Furthermore, because of their craving and grasping, they presently go through various kinds of suffering and will thereafter suffer in hell among the animal realms or even born within the hungry ghost realm. So these are the four willful states where the what they call beings that commit very severe negative karma take birth, especially the hell beings, avijja hell. they got a lot of levels of hell. Then there is also what they call the hungry ghost rhyme, beta rhyme, where life is really miserable. Because within this beta rhyme, their world, their existence, they are like ghosts, no, hungry. Yet they cannot receive food, no. Whatever food that may be even offered or given, or somehow they receive, before they put into the mouth, that karmic is so severe, it becomes molten, hot, and cannot eat at all. Yeah. So, there, you read this, there is a sutta. What sutta is it already? Born into the hungry ghost rhyme. I cannot remember. Never mind. Yeah. I think in the chanting book, the other one, the chief reverend one, is written there. So, according to the sutta by the Buddha, this rhyme, he say, is not like our civilization, no? Where you can do business. That's why in the sutta he say there is no merchandising where you can do business, merchant and all those things. Then neither plowing or farming. There is no occupation like to become a farmer where you can plow and farm and all those things. And like our civilization, can get a career, you can work as a whatever. Then you can earn your money, then you can buy. That's why our human rhyme is very, very unique, very blessed. We are called, it's also the sensual rhyme, but happy rhyme. We are the human rhyme, manusa. We call it the karma loka, karma, K-A-M-A, not K-A-R-M-A, K-A-M-A. This is sensual, sensual rhyme. But karma loka sukati, the human being, happy rhyme of the sensual rhyme. But not all humans are happy. They are a lot miserable also. But actually, you have the understanding, we are so much more fortunate than the all these hungry ghosts, animals, and even the hell rhyme. Of course, compared to hell rhyme, is terrible. The hell rhyme is really terrible. But this hungry ghost rhyme also much, much worse than the so-called human rhyme. The reason being, they cannot do anything, so there is no money to buy anything also. And you know how they survive or not. They depend on the departed relatives. The living one. Yeah, they are the departed one. Yeah? So the living one, if they are their relative, then this living one can transfer merit and share merit. And they receive this. Yeah. That's why we all share merit. Idang me nya tinang ho tu. Then, of course, we chant Ipmina Punyang. Punyang is our merit. Kamina. Mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo ho tu. Yawa nivana. So we channel our merits towards avoiding the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. But idang menya tidang ho tu is, we share and transfer merit to our departed one who can receive it. So once you do that, then they receive. That's why I say, if you go to the Beta Rhyme, if so happen, those that are heedless go to the Beta Rhyme, if you got friends who are kayamita, you don't worry. You can come out very fast. But you must make sure the sasana is around. So if the sasana is not around, too bad. They don't even have this teaching. How they know that they can transfer to you? And there is no such chanting as idang men yatinang hotu. So very difficult. Tirokuda Sutta. Thank you. Tirokuda Sutta. Ingbi. Thank you, Ingbi. Tirupada Sutta, yeah. This one is a very good sutta. You go and read. Okay. So, the hungry ghost rhyme. Animal, you know. Animal actually not so bad. Nowadays, I heard my wife and my daughter, they all say, a lot of people like to keep pets. Got beautiful dog, cats, and all sorts of animals. And some of them, they go and make up for them, do all the what, the fingernail or something you call it, manicure. And they dress them up so nicely, and they take them to the park and all that. But of course, they, like us human, they shit around. Then you, as a owner, it's only right you clean up all the shit or whatever. Then all these animals, they may have the good life, but it's their paramiya, their good karma, because they have been good master that take care of all these animals before. So in future, if they are born into the animal realm, like Kayamita, the Idang Me Nya Tidang Ho, this one no need, this one your own good karma, you will have owner that will adopt you, then look after you and take care of you. Like my son also, and my daughter-in-law, they got one dog. My son used to say, this dog Ho Me, Ho Ming. Because the dog will cost quite a lot. And you really have to take care of them. So all this is what exists and it's all about. You reap what you sow, like the Buddha say. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So this nature's law of karma, if you understand, is very beautiful. And you can see it manifesting everywhere within life and existence. But not all dogs end up in pets, isn't it? Or even cats or whatever. There are a lot of stray dogs nobody want to run around, chase around, kick, sometimes hunt by people. Then in the forest, in the jungle, the animals, they have a lot of fear. they call it the what, predator, that hunt them and come after them. Even as fishes and all those things also. Of course, chicken, cattle, goat, all this, you can see them. The human realm, human being need food. That's why you see not all animals are fortunate. A lot of them end up miserable. So if you can avoid the four woeful state within the lower realm below Manusa. The worst is hell realm. That one is in the sutta also. I think it's in the Therakuda Sutta. The Buddha gave an example where the emperor want to know how is it like to be in hell. You all heard of the sutta or not? Didn't I? I share it a few times. The Buddha told the king, Bimbisara, is it? Let's say you catch a criminal that do a lot of wrong things, kill, rob, rape, and all sorts of things. Very vicious, very evil. What will you do? So that time, I don't know. If it's now, maybe go to court case, then go to jail, and I still got food given. He said, if you are in the hell realm, the law of karma, the way they torment you, the Buddha told the king, let's say this prisoner, you catch him out in the morning, tell your men to spear him 100 times, but he cannot die or no. Then after that, put him back into the prison cell. Then afternoon, bring out again, spear him again, 100 times, then put it back, then at night bring out and do the same thing. Then no medicine, nothing. He has to suffer through that. He said the real existence in hell is worse than this, is it? Is there to go down to hell or not? Actually nothing for you to decide. For people who has to go down, they have to go down. It's not by choice. The law of karma take them down. That's why if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you dare to do all this, I wish you luck. But Kayamita, don't worry. You have your precept, so you won't go down. Minimum 5 precepts, you are safe. But understand that these precepts are meant to protect you. So you have to keep them well. That's why you must have mindfulness, awareness, understanding. Follow the advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa karanam kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyotapadan etang buddhana sasana. Means you need to avoid all evil. Yeah, keeping your precepts, minimum 5 precepts. Then cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. Yeah, then purify your mind, develop the cultivation so that you have the wisdom not to be afflicted or not to be affected by the 8 worldly phenomena, or when you are confronted with the first noble truth, 8 realities of life and existence. Okay, we have to end already. I think almost 10 o'clock already. Okay, I will summarize and stop. Because they crave and chase after the 5 desire. Oh, okay, this one we completed already. So having committed many offenses in pursuit of the 5 desire in this life, upon death, they may fall into the hell realm or reborn as animal and become hungry ghosts, suffering in those 3 realms. The other rhyme is the demon rhyme. That one also not too bad, but also quite comically, because they have a lot of anger, a lot of violence and delusion. So if you are born in the demon rhyme, you fight a lot, you get angry a lot. Okay, we stop here. So this one at least is a heavenly realm. If born in the heavens or among the human realm, they will suffer from poverty and distress. Means you don't have your coming inheritance. You will suffer from poverty and distress. But the heaven, normally, most of the time, it's a really happy realm. You don't really suffer. But they don't need food and all those things. But before they die, they sweat. Then they become miserable. That's the only thing. But human is depend. You don't have the Dhamma understanding. You don't have the good karma or good karmic inheritance or karma parami. The good parami from your cultivation or your meritorious action and deeds. You may end up in conditions that are difficult to endure. Then you entangle with karma, suffering will arise. Okay, we stop there. I mark this page. So now we open up for second session.
Good evening, Radio. Still and all Kayamita.
Yeah.
I got some basic questions to ask Radio.
Good.
It's just now regarding the 5 precepts. Is the first one is to refrain from killing.
Yes.
Actually, I had one incident last year in my office in this industry lot. At the back, there's one storeroom. We seldom open to use. But that time, once we open, then we saw they're full of termites.
Yeah, termites.
From the ground to the wall to the ceiling.
Very common.
So the whole room, all the place are destroyed, like, all the things.
Yeah.
So I have no the choice.
The termites really will destroy them. Huh?
So I have no choice, I have to destroy them.
No problem. But how did you go about doing it? Go, tell me. Yeah.
I just spray all the aerosol.
Yeah. Yes, you do it yourself, huh?
Yes.
Nail my is okay. Yeah.
But until now, I still a bit feel.
Don't worry, because like the Buddha say, past already gone. Understand not? All this you cannot change. Understand not? Action already done. Yeah. But don't worry because you don't have the intention to kill, but because it's your industrial law, you need to actually handle, I should say, that situation there. Because if you know, then maybe you will hire the what they call pest control. You heard of pest control? There are many companies that can do it. In the early day, I think there is a firm that called Rentokyo. I remember while I was still working. Yeah, when I was in I was working in a higher tertiary education. It's a university actually, very big. They got a lot of property and faculties and all the buildings. And it's very common to have termites and horror things. Sometimes rodent also. Then bees and all those things. So because these are companies that are willing to do the job for you on their startup. So you can hire them, no problem. But what I did was I told them, I say, if possible, don't use poison to like kill them or get rid of them. Yeah. But it's up to you, I say, because it's their profession, they know what is best. So I say for me I would try to like avoid all this. So he said, Mr. Teo, don't worry, he said, we know what to do, I say. Then I saw his manner. Came to our building, all the rooms, he was spray that type of insecticide. It seemed very poisonous or no? But a bit here and there on you. So what I told him was, I said, my room you don't spray. I don't need them. Because my room don't have termites and don't have ants and all those things. I said, you don't worry. Yeah. And then he didn't spray my room. But you can actually hire them because my underneath my staircase last time, I kept some of the timber board that I used for my flooring on upstairs. Actually, it was very damp during the hot season. Then somehow, they can appear or not. Somehow, it was infected with termite, a lot of termite. But luckily, it's granite for floor, and not granite, monolithic, this type of tiles. But then the stack is all timber, no? But I was very lucky, because my wife spotted somewhere they started eating my skirting upstairs. No? Then my wife says something is wrong, is it? Because the skirting hollow already. Then I suspect it's termite already. But I say, my house, how can termite come? I say, no termite. Then I call the pest control guy. Then he trays on. Then he say, you got storage somewhere. No? I say, yeah, I'll open now. Full of termite. And the timber all, I think, they have, beer is their food. They eat until, I think, a lot of termite there. But this contractor very good. He said, don't worry, I clean up for you. He cleared the whole thing. Then after that, he told me I need to spray. Otherwise, they will come back. Then up there, he asked me, he said, there are two ways to do it. One is, I spray, kill everything. The other one is, I use a bait to bait the queen. The queen termite. Once the baiting is successful, without the queen, the termite all gone. Is it? I say got like that. Okay, I say baiting. More expensive. The treatment one very cheap. I think a few hundred dollar county money. But the baiting one, I think he charged more. He said it takes 3 days, I think. 3 days. But on the second day, the first day he put in the bait, very fast finish. The worker and take all the food. Well, they like that type of food, is it? Then they bring it back to the queen. Then the second day, I realize about 3/4 gone now. But still balance a bit. First day on, all gone. Supple everything. Then I told the contractor, I said, what do you think? Oh, he said, tomorrow I put another one. If they don't eat, means the queen already got problem. Already. Then he really put on the third day. Didn't take any. They said, after that, my problem gone. Then they clean up the whole area. Then they spray. Then this contractor very good. He helped me to make sure all my that timber shelving all the thing even all the other side of the wall, my nyato kitchen cabinet set all there. He said they can also attack one. They can go through the wall without you knowing it . But luckily he said looks like it didn't spread yet. But anyway he sprayed for me. I think already 7 or 8 years already. No more problem. I remove all the storage. So now inside there is all my tools and all the same. No more timber. No more food for them. That's why keep your place clean. Then you get these people who are willing to do it for their livelihood. But they also actually help out in, because all these so-called termites or rodents or what, you need somebody to attend to it one. Then cobra, snake, they very good. You call the bomba, they come. They really can catch it, but they don't kill. Then they, I don't know how they dispose it. Because we have staff quarters, lecturers, professor, associate professor, or thing, all the university staff. I think that time I got 600 over quarters. All need to be maintained on. Some are bungalows, quite a lot of bungalows. Then there are also condos and all those things, or apartments. So during that time, a lot of this type of thing, pests, rodents, then beehive, beehive a lot on the trees, all those things. So there are contractors. They call it pest control, take care of the pest. Then if it's snake, call the bomba, they are very good. So don't have to worry, because the mental intention is more important. Because you want to get rid of them, it's not to kill them, because it's your place, your industrial building, your industrial lot. Then it so happened you didn't know that whole storage long time didn't open up. But try not to store all this type of thing where they like to come. It's a food. Then there was another case, I think. The house on the roof truss. They at first thought it was a roof leak. The contractor gave a climb out. The contractor also dare not step on the thing, is it? He said, your house up there, a lot of termites. So because of that, they attack. Because you leak, when your house roof leak, the water will go in, then it will like slowly dam the timber, then after some time, it become like moist. Then food for the termite, and the termite will come on. Then slowly they eat, all become hollow. Then he say the contractor was very scared. You step on it, the whole thing can give way. But somehow they also know how to spray all this type of thing. They call it the anti-termite, all those things. So they clean it up for you, then they will spray for you. So far, touch wood, upstairs, the roof truss all very good. 40 years already, it is perfect. But still, every time if you do your roof repair or whatever, it's better to ask them to spray some of this anti-termite. Sometimes they brush over it, they spray over it, then give you a peace of mind so that you don't have to worry. But do your maintenance. Avoid having condition where your roof leak and or also your storage. Don't keep all those things. Tiles, okay, they won't eat. But timber, those with timber flooring, try not to store any of it. Now I know already. If I need to change, I call them to come and replace. But so far, so good. 10-year warranty, I use for 16 years already. Still very good, like new. So not an issue. Because it's the mental intention. Even if, let's say, you accidentally cause harm, or maybe you accidentally through your whatever action, you suddenly this flies or whatever small insect, you happen to cause them any what, don't need to worry. You are not intentionally purposely wants to kill, but if it's happened already, you can save it, salvage it, try to do something. If cannot, never mind, share merit, transfer merit, then wish them well-being and happiness, radiate metta to them and other things. May they be well and happy. May their next life be a better rebirth and all those things. And wish them whatever. You can share your merits and recite certain type of chanting that can, it may be benefit them or whatever, because there is affinity. Understand? Then once you sort it out, it's clear, not an issue at all. Because before we know the Dhamma, we understand the Dhamma, we also make a lot of mistakes. When I was young, I also kill mosquito, small town, a lot of mosquito, and sometimes, like a nuisance, you smash. But most of the time I miss. It's very difficult to hit one, actually. But later on, when I knew the Dhamma, I realized that smashing was no good. Because the insect is very small. That smash is like a sudden burst of energy. They develop fear and all those things. Then sometimes you smash and they really die. Let's say you hit them. You know what will happen. Although they are very small and minute, they are light. But if you accumulate it over a long period of time, that's why people sometimes get into accident. Like you're traveling that time, it may be a plane or a train or a car or whatever. Then you become the victim or what. Then in the accident, it's like you cannot smash like that, or suddenly the whole thing smash out, like the burst of the plane or whatever, or the car accident, very severe one. Really smash. These are the karmic, you reap what you sow. So if you can avoid the causes, then you limit the possibility of it happening. That's why knowing the Dhamma and able to keep the precept is very good. But knowing the Dhamma and still want to violate, then be careful. But for your this case, it's not serious. Don't have to worry about it. You just you need to sort out the thing. And you don't have intention to kill them. You need to spray, you spray, no problem. It doesn't mean that when you spray, it's to keep them away. And so then you need to clean it up or what? Like my contractor, what he did, he clean up, then he spray. Then he very good, he very skillful. They are trained in this line, and they also handle a lot of poison. So they also know it's health hazard or something. That's why you can afford, hire them, pay them, let them do. But make sure it's a skillful one, a good one. Then talk to them, learn from them, then tell them you do it properly. So that try not to harm them in a way where you just kill everything. But he very good, he put it up. He clear everything now. Then I say, you help me to dispose. Yeah, he said, no problem. He helped me to dispose. I don't know where he disposed to. So a lot of these things, when you understand, you will know what to do. Any other question?
Brother, another question about the precept is about the sexual misconduct. There are a lot of definition or so I need
what are the explanation. What are the thing you heard?
They
Google tell you what?
I think
because you must understand that third precept for married person is not celibacy. It's not celibacy. So that one is sexual misconduct. The word is misconduct. Understand? Means, according to our tradition, means for us, but certain religion, they allow to have four wives. If they are your legal wife, that is not considered sexual misconduct. But there is a gray area. When there is without consent, even your wife also cannot. Without consent. Because sometimes they may not want it or whatever. So, misconduct means you are not doing it properly. But under the precept is like some of the sutta or what they call the commentaries, they define it as long as your own wife, that is not considered violating the precept. But if you try to have like commit adultery or whatever, then that fall under that misconduct. But what is important is you must not cause suffering or harm or misery to people. Understand? That's why some people ask me, is divorcing your spouse a misconduct? How do you understand it? Because your mental intention behind is very important. If you come to a situation where the marriage already like having problem, not much meaning and all those things. But whatever it is, I always advise them, I say, you must resolve it amicably. And amicably means what? Not to hurt anybody. And so on. If the relationship doesn't work out, maybe both also to be blamed, or one of them is to be blamed. But most of the case is circumstances that cause it. But you have to check whether it's due to your selfish intention that you go for it or what. If it's because of selfish intention, then of course there is coming. So these are like gray area that people cannot understand. That's why the Buddha used the word, it is cittena that I call karma. Means your mental intention. If your mental intention is selfish, deluded, and out of what they call very negative intent behind, then Sometimes it's because of anger, hatred, jealousy. Then they want to take revenge and all those things. Asana. Then they go and create what they call misunderstanding to instigate. So all this involve mental intention. That's why the main issue is not to harm, not to hurt, and not to cause suffering to your spouse. Yeah. Whatever it is, resolve it amicably. Yeah. In fact, a lot of ladies, later on they became kayametas. Yeah. They got marriage problem, actually. A lot of them. In the early day, I don't know why, a lot of them. And they came to me. Then I helped them to resolve it. Yeah. Resolving it is not easy. Yeah. Because I need to explain to them in a way where they can understand. Yeah. Because most people, when they entangle themselves with separation, especially for spouse or married couple, I say, why only you or specific couple? Why other couple happily married? No such problem. Very loving, very understanding. All this is because the law of karma. You reap what you sow. What you did to your spouse. In future, when the condition arrives, you become the victim. Yeah. When I say you become the victim, most of them initially they listen, they can accept. But later on, when I bring out the specific example of what happened to them, they cannot accept. I say, do you know why you end up as a victim now? Yeah? And why your husband did all this to you? Then I say, because in the past, I say, very likely, I say, you must have been like your husband like that did to somebody else. He said, God, man. Then the worst is, later on, I said, okay, how can I resolve it? I said, very simple, three things. Ask for forgiveness. He said, you expect me to ask for forgiveness from that? B-A-S. that B-A-S thing come out. I say, no, not specifically to him. I say, whomsoever in the distant past, through your ignorance or delusion, whether knowingly or unknowingly that you have caused such karmic negativity, you sincerely ask for forgiveness from them. Yes? All these beings, you don't know how many you deceive and cheat and do all those funny things. That's why I say in the chanting book, I always use whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly that I have caused them any karmic negativity. So it include the third precept. I sincerely ask for forgiveness. And may my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all. Yeah. Because if you don't ask for forgiveness, this karmic obstruction, you can never overcome it. No? You have to ask for forgiveness. But the nature's law is like that. It's just like our society. If you have a misunderstanding with somebody, okay, then both also ego very strong until it becomes like hatred, then that misunderstanding become enmity and all those things. Then a lot of like anger, hatred, enmity, until the two look at each other also quarrel and fight and cannot tolerate. One word come out, machine gun shoot out. So counter here and there. Then I say, what happened is one day one of them realized the mistake and realized that this type of situation is no good, bad for both. Then decided to one day come and ask for forgiveness from you. And the moment you ask for forgiveness, the funny thing is, the other side also turned down. If you do it properly, I say, oh, it's okay. I think I also at fault. Then both admit, then resolve already. So the coming obstruction is like that. You don't ask for forgiveness, cannot be resolved. he forever hold that hatred and enmity inside his thought process. And that hatred can continue life after life, like Devadatta, remember the banker incident? He swear to go after the Samasambuddha or the Bodhisattva life after life. That's why it turned out to be the no blessing or mishap. He really end up taking every birth following him. Until he becomes Samasambuddha, also his cousin. But he did a lot of wrong things. That's why that final life, he actually caused Sikhism to the Sangha. And he went into I think the earth opened up and he was swallowed in. But the Buddha predict he will still become a particular Buddha in the future. So all these are in the sutta where you can develop the understanding. So asking for forgiveness is very important. Then after that, I say, you vow not to repeat all these wrong things. Means keeping the precept. Well, why keep precept? Well, it's to avoid major evil, major karmic. Actually, it's to protect you. Not to make life difficult for you. So people don't understand. So when you understand that you determine to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, we are keeping the precept. That is the beginning of cultivation. Then cultivate wholesomeness means develop the 10 meritorious action. Cultivate the Buddha Dharma. All this Dharma activity, the puja, the what they call rejoicing, then do offering, dana, your generosity, your kindness and all those things. Then keep your precept is also one of the meritorious action. Then develop meditative. Bhavana, meditation, also you do. Then listen to the Dhamma, straightening your view, share merit, transfer merit, then do your duty to the sasana, mean provide service. All these are meritorious action. In fact, paying respect also, pay respect you call what? Reverential salutation. That one also meritorious action. So all the 10 meritorious action you do, then when you develop the meditative understanding, that wisdom is to purify the mind. So you do that, you start the process of cultivation, and that will bring about a lot of merits and wholesomeness. That's why the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183 advice is very powerful. And from there, you do the third thing. After you have sufficient merits, sufficient what they call parami and wholesomeness, you can invoke power of merits for turn around, for you to overcome your karmic obstruction so that you can gain back your life and be given a second chance to relive your life in accordance with the Dhamma way and other things. Then you can also use the merit to help your loved ones or friends or whoever who are sick. Then may they recover to good health soon. May they have a successful surgery. Or may their sickness and disease be taken care of. May no harm come to them. Then you can radiate all this. Of course, initially it's to yourself. So these are the way. It's all in the chanting book. I think page 17 or what. Okay?
Thank you very much.
So mental intention very important. I think already 10:30, we have to end already. Next time, your question, keep it for next round. Very good question. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the usual sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Akka sata ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one. Then we end, eh? Sadhu.